You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want information about any services, you can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email to info@drpatallen.com. info@drpatallen.com. You can also check out our website, wantinstitute.com, and our other website, www.drpatallen.com. We have free audio video on our website, drpatallen.com. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours long of Dr. Allen teaching chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It's all of her tools, and it shows couples how to do the relationship contract items. I currently have a drop-in donation ladies group that I operate, hold on Mondays at 4 o'clock and Thursdays at 5 Pacific Standard Time. It's a $10 donation, and I help ladies guide them through online dating and how to guide them on getting to I do, how to pick a man and use Dr. Pat Allen's techniques. So tonight we have a former student with us, Andy Shaw. Andy, do you want to say hello to the audience?
Hello, audience.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some callers. Again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you're not available to call the show, you can always email me your question, and we'll answer it on the show, and you can listen to the recording in the archives on the radio station at a later date. So, Andy, do you have anything you want to talk about this week? Hopefully we'll get some callers.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about what does it mean to be an adopted child? Like, well, a little neurotic.
That's from the WANT training?
Yes.
Yeah, let's let everybody know that Dr. Pat has all of her material. You can go to our website, wantistore.com. And then it will also guide you to Amazon. We have numerous books available, but that one's an audio, isn't it? Isn't it a streaming audio? WANT Training for Effective Living. I'm not too up on that one because most people want dating. So you fill us in on what you learned about it.
Well, I like it because even though this is not dating specific, it's still person specific.
Okay.
It kind of helps understand. Kind of helps the individual understand other people and themselves and what they're doing or not doing and the reasons for it.
Okay.
And I found it a little bit helpful when I think people are crazy, including myself.
Is that from the TA? If people wanted to, could they go into the TA book? Is there a book about that available we can recommend? The parent adult child?
Eric Byrne, yeah.
Okay.
Can't think of exactly which one it would be.
I think our book list is on our website, drpatallen.com, and also WANT Institute. It's got Dr. Pat's recommended book list. So people could always go there. Tons of books.
Let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
He's got a bunch of them. He's got Beyond Games and Scripts. Games People Play, of course, one of my favorites.
I like the Games People Play, but what's the one that's in, the circles, parent, adult, child? Does he have one that's specially about that?
Well, there's intuition and ego states, which I think is what you're referring to. It's the origins of transactional analysis.
Okay.
And then transactional analysis and psychotherapy. And then what do you say after you say hello? The psychology of human destiny, which was, I read it. It was interesting. It was like way down in the weeds on stuff. And I'm like, whoa.
Are these easy read books, or would somebody have to really pay attention while they're reading to understand it? Because I know some people said it was really hard. A lot of the books were hard to understand.
Yeah, I would probably start with the intuition and the ego states.
Okay.
Just to kind of get an overview of it.
Uh-huh. As a start.
Yeah, so like there's the, if you want to go over it real quick, it's the... picture three circles stacked on top of each other, and the top one is called the parent, the middle one's called the adult, and the bottom one's called child. And it's the Eric Burns idea of Carl Jung's super ego, ego and id.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted an 8-year-old to understand it. And the idea is that the further apart, like, they're interconnecting rings.
Yeah.
And they always overlap. There's no way to un-overlap them.
Yeah.
So one overlap, I think, parent to adult is your illusions. And the overlap between your adult and child is your delusions.
Okay.
And the more contaminated you are, the less an adult you are. So you have a lot of illusions, a lot of delusions. And the idea of transactional analysis was to pull your shoulds, your parents, you know, parental things that people tell you to do, whether it be your church, your actual parents, society, whatever, and to pull that as far apart as you can. Think of, you know, three rings hanging, and your child as far apart as you can from that, so you can minimize your delusions and face reality on reality's terms.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to mind a lot of, I know some ladies that they're still attached with their parents, and it's like their parents, even when they're over 30, they still have an attachment with their parents that they know is dysfunctional, but they don't want to push their parents away, and they don't know how to break it from their parents keeping the script going with them. How would you say a person, you know, let's say the parent is damaging and it, you know, it has a script that the child's not good and carries it on, and they see the parent regularly and they don't like what the parent does, what would you suggest they do?
Well, I'm guilty of that also. And I still, even this past weekend, was reminded that there's a script at play, because my dad had gained a few pounds, and my mom's like, oh, that's okay. And my dad's like, no, it's not. I don't want to be, you know, fatter than I am. And so I eat a certain way so I can be a part of my family, and I've gained weight from it. And I get scared.
Did they comment to you too then?
I've had comments before.
They guiltify you there? Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do it a lot because they know I'll just like not come visit them very often.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I mean. So when the parent keeps making comments that aren't nice, that, you know, kind of, puts you in a position where you don't feel worthy, it affects your relationships. And I get a lot of ladies go, how can I get my mom to stop saying bad things about me? I say, well, limit the visitation with her would be one. Well, she's always wanting to go on hikes and stuff. I said, what about writing letters to the mom and expressing it? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, your mom and your dad are just like your boyfriend and your husband. They're just people.
Yeah.
Like, and they're, you know, the audio goes into your parents are learning this from, you know, they learned how to live from their parents.
Yes.
And this is like generation upon generation of maybe crappy communication.
Uh-huh.
And like everybody else, we just want to be talked to.
Uh-huh.
So having a conversation with my mom, because I told her my fear, I'm like, hey, you know, this is where I'm at. And she's like, oh, you know, we support whatever you want to do.
Okay.
And, you know, you're not going to be ostracized or anything. So whether you're in a intimate relationship or parental relationship or a, you know, parent to child, child to parent, or work, communication is always the key.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like with everything else, you set your boundaries. Like, hey, you know, I love you. I want to be around you. Like, I can't handle this kind of negative talk. If you hung around, that negative talk has to stop. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I have to limit my sociability with you. And oh, you're still there. You still there, Sue?
No, that's a good point. Yeah. So I think next week, what are you going to surprise us with? You're pulling some audio to play on the first 15 minutes. Can you share what you've pulled so far?
Well, it's the audio of this, and it actually just goes over this particular page 1 and 2, the whole take one, audio file one, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, what's it? Do you know the name of it? What's it called? I don't have it offhand.
Yeah, the title of tape one is How to Make a Decision Rationally.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. We'll be playing like 10 or 15 minutes at the beginning of the show of Dr. Allen's materials, just so that people can have. And then hopefully we'll get callers in to go over them or to get more information if they don't understand them. So that will be good. That's the want training for effective living.
Yeah. And then so, like, you know, it's got this, these three rings are broken up into two sides. One's an emotional side, one's a rational side.
Uh-huh.
And the nurturing parent likes to communicate.
Uh-huh.
And if you look on the document, there's a plus sign or a negative sign, right? The plus sign is, I'm okay, you're okay. It's a win-win kind of deal. And you want to communicate in that kind of form. So in the nurturing parent side, you should, in the tape it says eat salad.
Yeah.
You should not eat cake. And because you will be better, then you define your price and your prize. Whereas on the super parent, critical parent side, it's, you know, you should eat whatever I tell you. You should not even consider, you should eat salad. You should not even consider eating cake because I say so. And that obviously raises up the stress level. So that has a positive and negative where I'm okay and you're not.
I have a lot of people hard to understand the philosophy of I'm okay, you're okay. When somebody does something to me, they say, you can't do that, you can't say that. And it's hard for them to understand they have every right to say, think, feel, act, or say things. We don't have to like it. We don't have to approve of it, but they have the God-given right to say it. We can choose not to be around them, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really, really hard to go through.
That's a hard one for my ladies to get when I do my groups. They get mad at men doing things, and then they want to scold him. I said, he's got every right. And that's when we go to the accept, reject, or tolerate. And a lot of people don't like that concept either. They tolerate, but they want the person to stop doing it. And it's like, I can't make people stop doing it. How would you say people, let's say somebody's with somebody dating, and we get a lot of these callers. You're dating, you're getting to know him, and the guy does something you don't like. And that is just the way he is. He's always late, or he doesn't call in, a lot of them, he doesn't call me regularly. What would you tell the audience, how you would handle that situation? Do the stroke or stand, or just watch him and see if he's a good candidate to continue dating?
Well, I like the, in the audio talks about how the first one's always a freebie. It's always hello.
Oh, I think we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
I'm one of Dr. Pat's old students.
You sound familiar. We won't mention any names.
you could. It's Kathy. How is she?
She's 90 years old. I think she's going to an AA roundup the end of this month, somewhere up in LA. You know, that her AA meetings. I think she's doing something up there.
Oh my goodness. So everything else great at the WAN Institute?
Everything's good. We're restructuring it because one day Dr. Pat won't be here and I'll have to gather around and start a new format to keep Pat's material out there. We might maybe teach some classes. Maybe I'll pull in some more old coaches and teach classes. We're just starting to restructure it. Pat wants to keep it going. So we have you in mind.
Oh, wow. Well, excellent. No, just for your audience, I want them to know that I met Dr. Pat Allen about 40 years ago. And if you really want change, I know you want to feel better, but it takes work to change. It really does. And it's a commitment. And you know her famous saying is the only way you know you love yourself or anyone else are by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. And I have read all the books and been to many seminars and certified in transactional analysis. And I
really about the TA. Andy was talking about the parent without judgment.
What?
We were just talking about the parent adult child, the TA. So Andy was just talking about TA.
Okay.
Kathy is
Okay, yes.
Yeah. We're going to play audio next week. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, transactional analysis is amazing, and Dr. Pat Allen, the way she taught it was very effective. And it's an awareness that everyone to be more authentic. It's an incredible system, and you know, like Einstein says, you can't expect different results by doing the same thing. So I highly recommend all of the classes, all the information for anyone from the flirting to the getting married. I'm celebrating 29 years this year.
Oh wow!
So I'm a big fan. Yeah, I am a big fan. And if for all those of you who have read Getting to I Do, you know, Dr. Pat talks about being a career woman. I was a career woman and transitioned into a woman with a career. And I've lived it. So I just cannot say enough wonderful things about everything she has taught and the thousands of people she has helped themselves.
Yes.
Become more authentic and better communicators with everyone. It's not just about romance. It'll affect your work life, your home life. Thanks for letting me give a plug and good luck to you guys. Glad you're still carrying it on.
Thank you,
Kathy. If you have any questions for me, I mean, I don't know what your most asked question is out there, but
Maybe we'll have you on in the near future and we can pick your brain. we weren't sure the show, we had some technical problems. Yeah, we had technical problems earlier, so we weren't sure if the show was going to be on. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, tell Dr. Pat I wish her well and thinking of her. You guys take care.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Now you remember Kathy Katz.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Every week, every Wednesday, we would see her at the Costa Mesa Community Center. No, we were there for how many years? It was like every Wednesday.
Alexa, pause.
Oh hi. You're on the air with Andy and Sue. Do you have a question for us?
I do. I actually have two if you have time.
Okay, we do. Go ahead.
Okay, so the first one is I'm seeing someone that has lost his wife about 8 months ago.
Okay.
And we started seeing each other maybe into it 4 months of losing his wife.
Okay.
So at that time, he wanted to be serious with me. Thought it was too soon. We decided to get serious, and we were intimate.
Okay.
Twice. Then I pulled out because I just felt like he's not over his wife, of course. And it just felt a little weird.
Well, why would you say he's not over? What is the reasons he's not over his wife? What was it, something you felt that, or was he talking about her all the time? What gave you the reason that he's not over his wife? Let's hear that information.
He does talk about her a lot. And he hasn't changed anything in his house. Like, everything is still put, even after 8 months now.
Okay.
He hasn't got rid of anything. And then when he talks about what he needs to do in life with his money, he'll mention, well, she wanted this and that, so I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to fix the house. I'm going to do this. So it's all about, you know,
well,
pleasing her.
Let me ask you something. Were you wanting a relationship that headed towards marriage, or did you just possibly want a companion?
We talked about both, and he was open to both when we spoke.
I'm asking what you wanted.
I do want marriage. I think I wanted it more before, but, you know, companionship for sure.
Okay.
But if I found the right person, marriage would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, yeah, a lot of people, even when they have ex-wives, they have still pictures all over the house because of the kids and stuff. And, you know, they lived in the house with the ex-wife, so it sounds like it's a little bit of the same. He's probably still mourning about her, and that's unfortunate you have to listen to. But do you tell him how uncomfortable it
is? Yeah, he told me he is.
Okay. Do you tell him, I really appreciate that you cared about your ex-wife, but it's uncomfortable for me to hear it while I'm with you?
I haven't told him that because I told him I was there for him.
No, well, you need to change it. Dear, you set it up then. If you told him I'm here for you, you gave him an invitation to dump. Yeah, so I would suggest, instead of pushing away, if you like the man, just tell him, you know, I'm here for you. However, I'm now taking it back. I want to be here for you, but it's uncomfortable to hear you talk about your ex-wife when I'm around. But maybe you can go to a support group if you want somebody to support you. I don't hear any communication. I hear you just cutting them off. You're mad.
Well, I'm not mad. I think I feel like he's lonely. Maybe I'm a little lonely with
That's
my situation.
True. So the two of you might want to get together. Andy, I gave her my suggestion. What I heard was she offered to help him, but now that's, you don't like listening to about the ex-wife. So pull that back and offer him to go to a support group, and that you're uncomfortable hearing so much about the ex-wife because you want to build something with him and feel comfortable.
Well, it's not even the ex-wife. She's deceased, so she passed away.
Okay, she deceased. She's still gone. So it.
Right, right.
I meant that the ex that had passed away, but she'll always be a part of his life. But you tell him how uncomfortable it is to hear it all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Andy, what would you advise her? We'll get two opinions here.
Maybe when you're pulling that back, I'd say I'd start with I was wrong. I thought I could handle it, but I can't. And then kind of be clear about what your intentions are and where you want to go, where you want to be. Also remember that it takes 2 years to get over her death. And so 8 months, okay. 4 months is pretty darn soon into that, and you're right in the melee of it. So you may want to ask yourself if you're willing to handle that for the next 16 months or so, because it will take some time.
And he'll say certain things like, well, what if we would get married, or what if we would,
that,
you know,
that should that, I mean, that's him thinking. He's kind of torn. He's still mourning his ex-wife, but he's looking at you as a future. So,
yeah, I mean, an alternative is that maybe you don't date him for another year or so and give him some space and time to heal. And that could also be a time to be friends and build that friendship. And then, you know, when enough time has passed, take it to the next step.
That's a good idea.
You can design your life however you want.
Yeah, and I've kind of tried to get it to go that way. Even though when we get together, we do kiss and things, but we stopped having, you know, and more intimate than that. So,
okay. And he's okay with that.
You kind of cut that.
You shared you were uncomfortable being intimate, and he was okay with that.
Yeah, he agreed actually too. We both agreed. I know he wants it because he asked me for it, and then I would say, you know what we agreed on. He goes, oh yeah, yeah, that's true. Okay, let's keep that going. You know.
Yeah, I mean, men are always going to ask for sex, so that's just poor animals. Sorry.
When you talk to him, when he asks, what I would do is when he asks for sex, you stroke him. I really appreciate you see me sexually desirable. However, as we agreed upon, we're going to be friends for a while. Do a little bit softer with the stroke and stand with Dr. Allen's tools rather than saying, remember, we talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's kind of like you taking the lead and being the dictator, telling them how it's going to be. Okay. There's two people here. He wants sex.
And yeah, sometimes I feel like.
Just remember, always stroke them. Always stroke them, even if you don't like what they say. You have to make them right, and then tell them your point of view or what you don't want or what you want.
Okay.
Yeah. And remember,
so that makes sense, because sometimes I think he's looking for those strokes out of me. He'll ask me questions.
Everybody wants strokes. We hopefully want positive ones, but sometimes people like negative strokes.
Yeah, and the more better you are at this, like I hope you wrote this down or, you know.
You can listen to the recording. Yeah.
Because what Sue has a lot of really good snippets of wonderful material. And if you follow her script, I can almost guarantee that you will win every single time.
Okay.
So she said something earlier that was just beautiful.
I'll repeat it. When he asks for sex or he talks about his wife, what you say is you stroke him. You might say for the wife, you know, and this, you may have to do it 3 times a day, but you do it with kindness, not out of anger. You say, gosh, I know, I appreciate you missed your wife. That must be, you know, I know you're sad. However, it's uncomfortable for me to hear it. What do you think about going to a support group or, you know, talking about her less with me? It gives him an option without being scolded, because he's going to need to be reassured that it's okay to mourn her, but you just don't want to be the shoulder to cry on. And if he asks for sex, you say, I really appreciate you see me as sexually desirable. However, I'm not comfortable having sex. I'd rather be friends until you're finished mourning your ex-wife. What do you think?
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah.
Yes. You've got the power. This man likes you. He's not ready. But, yeah, you know, there's a lot. You've got what I'm saying is you got a nice man. And I do a lot of older women. And they're hard to come by. And when you get a good one, when he's ready and healed, he may snap up somebody else. And you had him first.
Right.
More women than men.
That's true. And I did try to push him away once with dating. I said, maybe you should need to date. I'm the first woman you've dated happened.
He said,
do you want me to date other women? You know, and he kind of put it on me.
Well, if you're pushing them to other women, I'm sure there'll be another woman that wants to have a nice companion.
Yeah. Remember about that word should. Don't should on me.
Yeah.
And don't should on other people either.
Okay.
He has a right to the exact words on me.
Okay.
Can I ask how you met?
Yeah, I lost my sister, and we were in a grief class together, and we became friends.
Oh, okay.
And, we were attracted. Mm-hmm.
I think you called before. Haven't you called before, caller?
I did actually. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think it was about this gentleman as well. Okay.
It was. I was a little more confused at that time when I called. But now we've continued our friendship. It's just going a little wonky, you know, it goes back and forth.
Well, it's in your power. If it's too uncomfortable, I can see pulling back, but you can also tell him how uncomfortable it is to hear his pain and that maybe he could go to the support, but you do enjoy building, you know, something with him. And then after what Andy said, 16 months, you guys may be walking down the aisle and give, you know, you have to decide how much time you want to invest.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, go ahead.
It's totally from a different man. A man I was seeing a while ago.
Okay.
And I haven't really 100% got over him.
Okay.
And I've reached out to him kind of masculine ways. Okay. And because I feel like I kind of ended it more than okay. he did. He liked the way it was going and I wanted more.
Okay.
So it broke us up. And okay. so I started texting him and telling him.
Can I ask, like, how long was the breakup when you started texting him again? Give me a time. A year, a month, 2 weeks?
I haven't seen him for 2 years.
Okay. So and 2 years you started texting him again. Okay. And what happened?
Yeah, but in those 2 years that we've been off and on kind of okay. texting here and there, maybe a phone call here and okay. there. And usually I initiate it, but.
So let me find out the final breakup from the time from the time you talked to him to the time you text the last time?
The last time
what was the time frame?
Last night, I told him I wanted to talk to him and he called me. Yeah.
Okay, so last night. But before that, when was the last, I'm trying to get the time frame when the last time you were before you wanted to reach out again. How much time went by?
I would say the last time I texted him from this time.
Yes.
It would be about two, 3 weeks.
Okay, that's good. Okay, because sometimes 8 weeks and it's a brand new relationship. So 3 weeks ago you text him and then you text him again the other night. So how did it go?
He's a very stern type of personality. So I think because I'm reaching out, he's kind of making me do more work on this. Yeah. So when he called me, he said, "You have the floor."
What do you want? Yeah.
But then I can understand it. So, you know, I just said, "Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to say hi." And then he goes, "Hi." And then he started asking me questions. "How am I doing?" Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, chit chat. Okay. And how did it end?
And it ended on, I think I said, "Well, you know, I've been telling you I want to see you. How do you feel about that?" And he said, "Well, because I'm hurt right now." So he said, "Well, when you get mobile, give me a call."
Okay. What I would suggest, you said, "How do you feel about that?" You put him in the female role. You said, I would want you to say, "What do you think about that?"
Okay.
But what I can also do, this would be a good time for you to write the hi bye letter. Because the hi bye letter at the very end, you say, "I made a mistake and I miss you." And he gets to either come back or maybe you guys chat. It's back in his court.
Okay. I did a hi-bye letter with him. I talked to Dr. Okay. Allen years ago.
Yeah.
And she kind of went over going through a hi-bye letter. And yeah. I did send it to him. And it worked because we got back together.
So you may have to do another one.
Okay. Do you think that this could work again? Or
dear, I don't know, because how many rounds? Maybe you're not done with him and you need more rounds of pain.
Oh gosh, I know, that's what I think.
I don't tell people when to leave, but sometimes they're not ready. They haven't learned the lesson yet, and you may have to go back and get a few more punches to get the lesson to stay away.
Oh wow.
It sounds like if I was you, I would go with the widower than somebody that is talking mean to you and you have the chemistry, but you could break up on an awful lot. They're both kind of a little chaotic. I think the widower is probably a better choice.
Well, for me, I'd say the other guy.
And then when want me more than, I think something's in me that I need to work on, because when a man gets really close to me and wants that, I kind of pull away. I don't know what it is.
That's a behavior. Sometimes you feel unworthy on good guys because you're pushing the widower away, but the bad guys that don't treat you nice, we want. That's common with a lot of my ladies that I coach. They always want to go with the unavailable, non-committable. They lie, cheat, and steal. But the nice guy that wants a relationship, I have no chemistry for him. And they overlook the nice guy. Dr. Pat says you have to desensitize and go out with the nice guys. Even though you don't have chemistry, you'll eventually learn to be comfortable with nice guys.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you fix that.
Okay. This is also why you're waiting for the widower to get healthy.
Yes. He sounds like a healthy man, but you want it now. You want it ASAP, instant gratification.
Yeah, so you might want to consider dating the bad boy so you can learn some lessons.
Yeah. Maybe try dating go online and date other men just to keep you occupied. Maybe another man will surface, and then you'll have the widower and the other guy, so you won't over-focus on the widower talking about his deceased wife.
What do you feel about dating ex-daters? Like, I noticed, like, men that dated me in the past will all of a sudden say, hey, how have you been? You know, we should
that's
get a
fine.
Beer together or something, you know?
Yeah, that's fine, but most likely we prefer if they reach out to you.
Well, yeah, they reach out to me.
Okay, if they reach out to you and say, how's it going? You might say, gosh, so good to hear from you. I'm doing great. I miss you. Or say something to drop the hanky to let them know you're interested.
Okay.
If you still have the chemistry, if you still want to do it, the one thing that I would recommend is you do it with your eyes wide open and you consider it practice. Practice to make your boundaries, you know, learn the lessons you haven't learned yet. And just do it with a conscious effort.
Okay. And do I tell the guy, the widower that I'm dating, do I tell him
Not unless he asks, or not unless he asks. We do not go and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to let you know I'm dating others. Only if he asks. That's kind of like you're trying to get him jealous, and that will not work.
Right, and he is a jealous guy, because we don't
volunteer the information hoping he'll say, no, don't do that, I want you. They don't do that all the time, dear. It could backfire. You could actually get mad.
Noticed, like, when I say I'm going to go with my family somewhere, he'll go, oh, okay. You know, he gets a little touched.
Well, you know what? That's not your problem. You have a life, too.
Right.
That's about you feeling guilty in some way that you feel that you need to be, you want to be around him 24/7 and you want him to pick you. Remember, the women pick the men. We pick who we want to be with. Sometimes the women think they want to impress the men, so the men pick you. It's the opposite.
Okay.
Men ask us to marry them.
Right.
So you're the prize. You have to walk around and be worthy to have men want to be around you and gain your attention. Okay. I'm hearing you're walking around trying to get men jealous to date you. That probably won't work.
Yeah, I don't like to get him jealous, but I think if I don't go out with him, like, say, on a Friday or Saturday, he kind of wonders, and, you know.
You make one date. You make a little upset. You know how you could stop that? Give him one date. Friday night is his night. Saturday, give him, hey, I'm going to put you in my calendar. We're on for every Saturday. Give him a date.
Okay. Because he already says like 2 weeks, like, oh, next weekend we can do this. And then the fall, you know, he already has these plans. And then
then you say that's great and make your dates another day when he's not taking your time.
Okay.
Or every 3 weeks that you don't see him, make a date with somebody else. There's like 7 days in a week. You've got all these other days to go out to lunch, breakfast, dinner, drinks, coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
That helps me a lot.
Good. Give us a call and give us an update. I don't want you to push the widower away. And, you know, as far as your ex goes, be careful there because you already have bad. You guys have a pattern of breakup, get back, breakup, get back. That's not good either.
Okay.
We want to get you maybe another guy, get another guy that's brand new to work on.
Yes.
That would be the best thing. Call us and we'll guide you through it.
Okay. I think I could use that help. Okay.
Call us weekly with your new guy and tell us, and we'll guide you on what to do and what not to do.
Okay.
That's why we're here. We want to help everybody.
All right.
Use it.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for calling.
I will.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. I remember her. Yeah. Well, you know, I think there, I remember her with the widower. Yeah, she met him at the grief. Yeah, the grief thing. Yeah, I remember Dr. Pat. You know, the grief things. You meet a lot of people meet and remarry on those in those grief meetings.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
So hopefully we can get another call. We got a little bit of time. 323-203-0815. So that was nice. Kathy Katz called us. We had another caller. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to offer, there's a page in there that talks about emotional ideas people use to play games.
Share it.
Number one is pain will hurt me or you. Number two, what I say will be what you hear. Number three, I must feel good about what I say for it to be okay.
Uh-huh.
Number four, it is better to suffer myself than to cause you pain. Number five, asking for my wants is selfish and impolite. And number six, I must approve of things I accept.
And I think the ones that people asking for what you want is selfish. It's a hard one for people to get.
Yeah, I was hit like with four of these and I'm still struggling making turn of this.
What are the four and the examples so that people know what the examples for those are?
Oh no.
You don't have to give your example, but the four that hit with you, what are they?
So some notes I have are, I'll just share that out of that. Pain will hurt you or me. Remember Dr. Pat said this is exquisitely important. It's a sign that change is needed or change is in progress.
Yeah. I get a lot of people, they don't, on that pain, they don't want to hurt the other people to rock the boat. So they take the pain and they coddle the other person to keep everything in flow. And they're carrying the weight of all the pain. And when I see them, they are very sad looking people.
Exactly. And so like the one says, I must feel good about what I say for it to be okay. I have a nervous system wired through the anxiety of panic.
Okay. What's an example of that? Yeah.
Well, you know, painful discussions are painful to talk about.
Yeah, some people don't want to talk about stuff because, yeah, that's true. That's a good one, too. Yeah, they'd rather stick it under the, you know, see if it'll go away.
Yeah, we're also not responsible for other people's pain or feelings in any way, shape, or form.
Uh-huh.
And you mentioned that better to suffer myself than cause you pain. My note is it's cancer turning, stress-related problem. Mm-hmm. For I must approve of things I cannot accept, change approve to like, and change accept to love.
Okay, that's a good one.
Straight talkers are not an order of cruelty, evasive, secretive, condescending, or abrupt. To accept or reject another is to love yourself. Tolerating another, as we've said many times, is half love and half hate. You'll die younger if you do this.
Yeah, those are the when I tell the ladies about accept, reject, or tolerate, they want to, how can I change him? Because they don't like any of those answers.
Exactly. No.
I tell them, here's how you can change him. If we change your behavior, his behavior will hopefully change. So we can work on you, and then he'll either like you the way you are, or he might go away, or he could change. So that's how I word it.
Yeah. And a rational idea to stop games, the way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision, followed by action or inaction as soon as possible. Ask these questions. What do I have that I do not want? What do I want that I do not have?
That I want. Yeah, when you're online and you want a man, you write down your list of what you want in a man. So you just don't go get any man.
Yeah, and those questions work for me when I'm feeling negative.
Yeah.
And to just kind of write down, get out of my feeling zone and get in my head so I can change the way I feel.
That's good. We've got a couple more minutes here. So next week we're hopefully going to have the audio part up, the first part of the show, and then we'll take questions. And hopefully we'll get some people calling in with some more questions. So, Andy, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And I want to thank all the callers. And if anybody ever, you know, I do answer questions via email if they're simple ones as well. So you can always email me at info@drpatallen.com. So I wish everybody well, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.